I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, after a career of firsts, first black student body president at Harvard, first African-American secretary of the Army, he's made a career of seeking opportunity for others. What does he have to say about Iraq and the presidential race? It's a Wisdom Watch conversation with Clifford Alexander, and that's in just a few minutes. But first, we're going to continue our coverage of the fifth anniversary of the beginning of the Iraq War with a conversation with three service members. Many of us read the news stories, we watch the television, but we still observe events from a safe distance. So we want to hear from those who don't have that luxury, who did not have that luxury. Army Corporal Michael Holmes spent 3 years in Iraq and is currently waiting for a medical discharge from the Army. Also with us is Sergeant Brett Lindell, a former Marine who recently joined the Army National Guard, and Army Lieutenant Colonel Suzanne Shaw, who served as a chief nurse in Iraq during the first 3 months of the war. Welcome. Thank you all so much for coming, and thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
I'd like to ask each of you why you decided to serve in the military. For some folks, it's a family tradition. Others feel a special calling. Colonel, why don't you start?
For me, it was a little bit of both. It was a family tradition. My father was in the Navy. And then I also felt a calling. I knew that I wanted to do two things in life. I wanted to be a nurse, and I wanted to serve my country. And it seemed the way to do that was through the Army Nurse Corps.
Sergeant, what about you?
Well, you know, I never really had anybody in my family in the military, but since I was probably 6 years old, I was running around with toy guns and stuff and always talking about it, and it carried on through to when I got older. And then right as I was about to join on my own, September 11th happened, and so that just kind of spurred things along just a little bit more.
It's interesting. I'd love to hear more about that in a minute, but I want to hear from Corporal Holmes first. How did you decide to join? Why did you decide to join?
Well, it was sort of a calling to me. I felt like I wasn't really doing too much when I was younger other than getting out of school. The military seemed like a step in the right direction, so I took it.
I wanted to ask each of you because we can watch as much as we can from a distance. We can, you know, read every story. We can watch the news on the television. But there's no way we can know what it's like to be there. And I realize this is not, you know, cocktail party conversation, but I would like to ask if there's something that you would like us to know about what it was like to be in Iraq. Lieutenant Colonel, if you could start.
For me, it was living each day in the moment. The time kind of melds together into one large experience. And if you take the whole picture together, at times it was exciting, terrifying. It was a lot of hard work. I was there early with OAF-1, which is the first
OAF-1.
Operation Iraqi Freedom. We went in with the first group, so the conditions were austere. There was a lot of unknowns at the time. I also was not there very long, so I didn't have the experience of a longer routine process as you go through.
Sergeant Lindell, what about you?
What I think a lot of people would find the hardest is really understanding that another culture is another culture. You know, a lot of guys I was with over there tried to compare the Iraq society to ours, like, oh, what do they like to do for fun? What do they like to do for this? And really, it's just a whole different mindset. Whereas we might have a garden in the backyard, they have gardens to actually feed their families and stuff like that. And it was really interesting to see a truly different culture.
I also wanted to ask about the challenge of the job. I think the image many Americans have of warfare is Vietnam, where they think of it as sort of jungles, of rural, where you know who the enemy is, even if that was a guerrilla insurgency as well. So there were some similarities. But this was an urban fight for many of the people who were serving. And I just wondered if there is something you can tell us about that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I was very fortunate in my first week or second week in Iraq to have a situation where we were stationed kind of in an outpost in the desert, in the dirt with armored vehicles. We got a report from one of our surveillance teams about a grouping of houses kind of close to us. We then went to check out the houses. Now, keep in mind, this is my first true time to go through a house and do a search on a suspected insurgent or something like this. You know, I was a sergeant in charge of Marines. I also had another senior sergeant who'd been there several times to kind of walk me through it. And we went through the houses, you know, and it was a complete solid search. We had some hard intel. I mean, we were, you know, dumping drawers, flipping stuff, you know, things you have to do to really find out there's something. And we, you know, we went through those three houses. The women and children are crying and screaming, understandably. We have the men, you know, sequestered to the side and stuff like that. you know, we got done searching those three houses and we didn't find one thing. And, you know, it kind of set into me. I just felt like I was being malicious or being bad or something. And I felt really bad for that. Well,
that must
be
hard. I mean, especially if you have siblings like yourself and you can imagine people going through your mother's drawers or your sister's drawers.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it was necessary, unfortunately. And, you know, as I was leaving, I felt kind of bad for it. I was like, is this really what I'm going to have to do the whole deployment? Well, as we're leaving, you know, about 30 steps out, one of my guys spots just like a sack of grain or a sack of rice in a ditch right by the houses. So one of my Marines goes and checks it out, and the bag ended up having 46 anti-personnel mines in a mortar system. So I spent the whole time searching the houses feeling bad, thinking that these people were innocent and, you know, maybe I shouldn't be doing this, into an all of a sudden realization that these people had anti-personnel mines that they had planned to set on us. They had a mortar system that they planned to use on it, and it turned out that those military-age males that we had taken were actually part of some terrorist activity right in our area. Basically, you can't judge everything at face value, all right? Yeah, they looked good to me then and stuff like that, but then when I found the mines, you know, that kind of emotionally scarred me over right there. So the rest of the time, the women and children screaming, the men crying and stuff like that, I was very, I guess, emotionless, cold to it. Not because I didn't care, just because I realized what the possibility was, you know, behind that facade.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News, and I'm speaking with three veterans of Iraq, three service members, Army Corporal Michael Holmes, Marine Sergeant Brett Lindell, and Army Lieutenant Colonel Suzanne Shaw. They're talking about their service experiences in Iraq. I know that service members form special bonds when they experience combat together, have family members who've served, and I just wondered if any of you have lost friends during your time in Iraq, and if so, how you cope with that, Corporal?
Yes, I have lost a lot. I still deal with it on a daily basis. You really can't let it go. It's an extreme feeling of emptiness. It's just so frustrating that you're over in a country and a person that you just met who is now your family, that person can never come home. And in a way, you don't want to leave because it seems like you're leaving them, and all military know we never leave anybody behind. And now that I'm back, I'm just working on this like a day at a time. It's a hard thing to deal with.
Sergeant?
Yeah, you know, I've lost a lot of friends, too. You know, you can sit there and mourn their death, which you do for a little bit, but really, it's best to celebrate their life and, you know, take away what they brought to you. And then also, what I think is actually a gift from those guys is that if they could have my shoes now, what would they do? So in a lot of situations where I let fear start to grip me, like, oh, I don't know if I want to do that, or I don't know how to do this, I think if he were here and he could have a second chance, I know he would do it. That's really what I have to be thankful for the most, for all those guys who sacrificed for me. They really let me know that life is beautiful. You know, take control of it, do whatever you can, and make the most of it.
Lieutenant Colonel, I wanted to ask you, you're dealing now with the ongoing consequences of the war for some people who are injured. You're working in that way now, working with folks who are injured. May I ask, what is that like?
It's actually a very humbling experience to talk to these soldiers that come home with some very serious injuries and hear them say that it's hard, it's painful, a difficult road, but at the same time, each day they're proud of what they did and it's worth it because they're there protecting their country. And so to hear them say that as they're going through this healing process and this grieving process, because many of them have had life-altering injuries that such that their life's not going to be the same, to say, it was worth it because I was defending my country. And then others that say, I need to heal so that I can go back and help my brothers and join back in with my unit and take care of my soldiers. It's a very humbling experience.
Corporal, I wanted to ask you, you were there so long. I wondered, did the job change over the time that you were there?
In a way, yes and no, because when we were first there, we were kind of just, it was like a siege. We were trying to occupy the area and just pretty much take it over and end it fast, and it ended up not going that way. So after a while, it went from just like a war where people didn't know exactly what was going on to everybody, we started devising a lot of strategies. Everybody started to learn what was going on, and it was a whole lot of searching and a lot of rescuing, a lot of helping. We helped a lot of schools. We helped build a lot of things. And there's a lot of stuff that hasn't been talked about. It's kind of like a circle. It's like we help a lot. And then at the same time, you're still fighting a war. And you just got to find a way to work with both at the same time.
Sergeant Lindell, what about you? Did your job change while you were there?
It did, and I saw it change a lot more around me. I was in a situation where I was in a very mobile force, very aggressive. And so our rules of our engagement were, you know, if you felt threatened, engaged. You know, the typical thing you would think of war being like. But then when we would get down in an area for a time to patrol the area or stay there for a little bit, pretty soon it'd be, all right, well, you can't use these weapons in this area. Or one of the biggest things is our rules of engagement for vehicle IEDs or, you know, vehicle bombs. Our posture became so kind of almost, there's a lot of bureaucracy involved. Instead of feeling threatened and shooting something, it would be like an escalation of force, which I agree, there should be some escalation of force, but it almost got to a point where it was way too much for my safety, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And when I ask this, and to the degree you feel comfortable saying, I'd like to ask, with all that you saw and all that you've learned, would you do it again, Sergeant?
Oh, definitely. Right now, I don't know. I'm kind of doing the college thing and enjoying that. Would I do it again? I definitely would.
Because?
You know, there's a million reasons. A few of them just honor country core. You ask any Marine, that's pretty much the answer they'll give. You know, I love my country. I love my Marine Corps and, you know, the honor in it for my family, for everybody. And I know Iraq has kind of lasted a long time, but there's people, definitely people over there who still need us.
And what are you doing now, Sergeant?
I am in college right now. Studying at Valencia Community College down here in Florida.
That's great. What are you studying to do?
I'd like to go into the CIA or maybe, you know, go to law school or something like that. Still kind of undecided. Each week is a different idea for me. That's kind of how it goes.
I think that's okay. I think that's what college is for.
Yeah. Eventually president, though. That's kind
of
my long-term goal.
Of the country?
Why not? Okay.
Well, we can say we knew you when. Corporal, what about you? If you had to do it over again, would you?
Oh, yes, in a heartbeat. I was one of the soldiers that got injured, and I spent about 2 years going through physical therapy and everything, trying to go back. But the Army actually decided that my injuries were going to get worse if I stayed in, so that I'll be retired out on the 26th of March.
May I ask what your injuries are?
I got shrapnel in my back from an IED, been shot a couple times, lost a little sight. I lost some hearing in my right ear. My rotator cuff on my left shoulder is damaged. I got nerve damage. Both my knees are pretty much shot.
But you would go back.
Oh, yeah. Just like our sergeant said, it's a military thing. I'm a soldier. That's what I am. And I would go back in a heartbeat just to stand with my family that's out there.
What are your plans, sir?
I'm not sure yet. I'm still trying to adjust back into society, so I'm just working a day at a time on everything.
We appreciate you. Lieutenant Colonel, what about you? You're still going full blast?
Yes, and it's the stories of these two and soldiers like them whose stories continue to motivate me to stay and continue to serve. I'd like to continue to find positions that are challenging in nursing. I have 17 years in, so I will continue to serve until I hit retirement, which is when they tell me I have to leave or I hit 30 years. So,
Army Lieutenant Colonel Suzanne Shaw served as a chief nurse in Iraq during the first 3 months of the invasion. She's currently serving in the Warrior Transition Brigade at Walter Reed Army Medical Center. She was kind enough to join us here in our Washington, D.C. studios. We were also joined by Army Corporal Michael Holmes. He spent 3 years in Iraq and is currently waiting for a medical discharge from the Army, and he joined us from member station WYSO in Yellow Springs, Ohio. We were also joined by Marine Sergeant Brett Lindell, who recently joined the Army National Guard, and he spoke with us from member station WUCF in Orlando, Florida. I thank you all once again for joining us, and I thank you all so much for your service.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. Semper Fidelis.